Written on the board this morning, be of good cheer. I'm thankful to be here today to be able to worship in body and in spirit with you today. I believe the Lord is pleased with us coming together, lifting up our hearts, our voices from our hearts with true honor and praise to His name. I believe there are blessings associated with that. And I am thankful to be able to be here today and join with you in that. I am struck by how many topics that the Word of God covers. And there are so many applicable things to life that could be preached about. And I'm also struck that there's just a little bit of time on Sunday mornings to preach. And we only meet just a little bit of time out of each week. And so when we do meet, and when it is time for the Word of the Lord to be preached, I want you to know that I am desperate to be inspired by God to be able to preach the Word of God that is needed to be preached for that hour, for that time period. And so I desire your prayers for me that I would be inspired by God not just to preach on a topic, but that I would be inspired to be able to bring forth the gospel message of peace in the way and at the time that God would like it to be preached. This morning I feel impressed that there is someone or someones that are in need of encouragement today, perhaps further encouragement following last week's message on the cross. And so I have a message as a follow-up to that that I would like to share with you today. I'm thinking of the 16th chapter of John today and the 33rd verse. John 16 and 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Again, this is a personal verse to us. I know He was speaking to His disciples at this time because His disciples were in a place of, they were getting ready to face much sorrow. They were getting to face some very dark days. They were getting ready to confront a cross that the one that they thought was going to deliver them from the Romans and from the trouble that they were in. They were getting ready to see their hope be nailed to a cross. And the Lord saw that that was going to be a very difficult time for them. And He knew that He was getting ready to go away, to depart from their midst in the flesh. And He knew that there were going to be days that they would be faced with where they weren't going to know which way to turn and where their purpose was going to be brought into question. And He knew that there were going to be times coming for them personally where they were going to be persecuted. And Jesus Christ also recognized that when He said these words, that they were going to be words that me and you were going to need in our lives, in our time. There was going to be things that were going to be taken out of our lives that we had placed our hope in. We had built our dreams around and had thought in our hearts that this was going to be part of the answer to me feeling fulfillment in life. And yet He knew that those things would be taken away from us and that we would have to face life without those things in place that we had placed so much hope in. So I believe that Jesus Christ, in His love and in His care, looked down through the ages and saw the place that His people would be in, and wanted to offer some words of encouragement. And so He said, not just to His disciples, but to me and to you this morning, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Jesus Christ, ye might have peace. You can have peace in me, in Jesus Christ. In this world, this place that you're living in, ye will have tribulation. Tribulation is part of the world in which we live. And you will not be able to escape tribulation. You will not be able to escape crosses in the life and in this world that we live in. And Jesus Christ was getting that out in front of them, to be able to help come to terms with the truth that in this earth, in this life, you are going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. But even though you will have tribulation, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And because of that, because I have overcome the world, because I am your Savior, because I am your Father, because this world has no power or strength over me, and I am the one that is going before you, because of that, you can have peace in me, in the midst of the world of tribulation. And be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Are you acquainted with tribulation today? Have you become acquainted with tribulation? You have, haven't you? Tribulation is something that touches all of our lives. Tribulation is one of those things that we can raise our hand this morning and say, I am acquainted with the part of this verse that speaks about tribulation. We are surrounded by trouble. We are surrounded by tribulation. We are surrounded by those things that reach the very depths of our hearts, that hurt, that bring tears, that bring uncertainty in our lives, that bring the unexpected that we never thought we would have to face in life. This world brings that. It's more than words on a page, but it is the very reality of life and the earth in which we live. And it can have a way of hindering us from seeing beyond it. And last Sunday, we preached a message on the cross. We preached a message on not just pleasant things, but the cross and the crosses that we face, even the crosses that are for our good. They're difficult. And they're real. And the crosses that we face in life that touch us, that draw blood from our hearts, there are crosses that are very real, that can't just be brushed aside by somebody getting up here and saying, well, it's for your good, be happy. Don't feel hurt anymore. That is not the reality of it. Crosses do hurt. And it is the reason why Jesus Christ in the garden had to pray 3 times and had to go a little bit farther. And it's why Jesus Christ Himself prayed to the Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, because He understood the pain and suffering that was going to be part of the cross. Crosses are real and they do hurt. But this morning I am impressed to put an exclamation point on the fact that Jesus has already overcome the world, and that we can know the end of the story. We are living a life where there are words and sentences and paragraphs and pages and chapters ahead of us that we don't know what they contain. There are difficult places in life that are ahead of us that we do not yet have understanding of. But this morning, I want to encourage you with this. Be of good cheer, because we can and we do know the end of the story. We know how it turns out. We can know that if we'll stay true, if we will press on, if we'll be steadfast, that even in the time of sorrow, in the time of difficulty, in the time where we feel like we're having our hands and our feet nailed to crosses that we would otherwise not choose, but that have been prepared for us, while it is difficult, while it hurts, while we may in fact and indeed shed tears, we can know the end of the story. Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. And He is our Father, He is our God, and He is offering His hand to lead and guide us all the way to the end, where we can cross over from this life into the next, where all of our sorrow and sighing and will flee away, and pain. And I'm thankful for that, and I want to be encouraged with that. The joy that is on the other side of the Christian cross is not insignificant, but rather it is life. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John and the 10th verse, I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The expected end is not the cross. The expected end is not sorrow. The expected end is not the grave and the tomb. But the expected end is life. It is Jesus Christ. And it isn't just at the end of this life that I want to encourage you with today. You may say, yes, I understand that when I get to the end of the way, but it seems like it's a long way to the end of the way. And it can feel that way until you get there, and then it'll seem like it went by really fast. But I know that in life, it can seem like that the time ahead of us is drawn out, and that there's going to be pain and suffering and difficulty that we have to deal with for long periods of time. But I want to encourage you of this too. Be of good cheer, because Jesus Christ has offered and is willing to walk with us and to accompany us today and now, with strength replacing weakness and courage replacing fear, and ultimately life replacing death. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Or does it seem like that it is a stretch to be able to get your arms and your mind and your heart and your trust around that, to the point that we can experience peace? Jesus asked the question on numerous occasions, do you believe? Do you have faith? And at one point, Jesus rebuked Thomas, and He told him that it would be better if he could have faith, if we could have faith, even during the times when we are not able to see clearly. And Jesus also told the men on the road to Emmaus, He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have said. I've laid it out in front of you. The prophets have foretold what was to come to pass, and have tried to help you understand the plan and its fullness. And sometimes as human beings, well, more than sometimes, oftentimes as human beings, it is difficult for us to be able to lift our eyes up above our own circumstances of life and to be able to get a hold of the plan that Jesus Christ has for us and for other people. It's a salvation plan. And there are times when He uses you as Christians to bear crosses, not because of anything you have done wrong, Sometimes not because there are things in your life that you need to die out to, but because He sees a poor lost soul over here. And the way that He can reach that soul is for you to carry a cross that is difficult, that one day you both might be able to enter into eternal life as opposed to just yourself. And the Lord wants us to capture a vision of what He has for us and for other people through the cross. He wants us to be able to lift our eyes up from the tribulation that we will have in this world, from the sorrow that we will experience. And He tells us to be of good cheer. And I know this morning that it's easier to acknowledge these truths while we're in the good times. Isn't it? It's easier to come to church on Sundays, maybe, and look at the Word of God and say, yes, I agree with this. I have no doubt that this is the truth, but then we have to go out the back door. And we have to face life. And storms are real. And we don't always see the sunshine. And it is so much easier to believe and trust and have confidence during the good times and when the sun is shining than when the storm is raging. Just ask the disciples. Ask those that sat at Jesus' feet. Those that were present when Jesus fed the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes. The very people that watched Jesus perform a miracle one day, the very next day were fearful and afraid when the waves got large because they were human, even though they sat at Jesus' physical feet. And it will be that way with us too. That in our life, we will experience times that it's harder to have faith. It's harder to, for sure, experience happiness and joy. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows that. And He's not bringing condemnation to us when we experience trouble in life and we feel heartache. And we feel a desire to withdraw and separate ourselves from the pain that we face. I believe the Lord knows all of those things and He's sensitive to that. But He does want to bring a message this morning of encouragement to tell us to be of good cheer. I believe that the Lord implores us to believe that He's calling us by name and that He knows our situation. He's there when we don't see Him. And He wants us to trust in that. In the 28th chapter of Matthew in the 6th verse, with a heavy heart and with life looking bleak, Mary approached the tomb of her Lord. I believe that morning Mary got up and what she had hoped for in her life had seemed to pass away forever. Have you ever been there? Don't we have hopes and dreams in life? We do, don't we? Don't we look at life and don't we think about what good looks like for us and do everything we can to help cause that to come to pass? We plan, we project out, we make save up sometimes and make provision for tomorrow and it looks good and we have in our minds things that we believe will bring fulfillment to us. And then the day comes when some of those things are swept out of our lives, seemingly never to be replaced by anything that could fulfill those dreams and hopes that we hoped would be fulfilled. That's life. Those things happen. And I believe that when Mary got up that morning and she knew that her Savior had died on a cross and was in that tomb, and there was a stone that was rolled over the tomb that was sealed, supposedly and seemingly never to be opened again, I believe that she approached it feeling a loss that she felt would never be filled. And as she approached the tomb of the Lord, instead of encountering the smell of death, she heard words of life. He is not here, but He is risen, just as He said. Jesus Christ is not dwelling, has not made His home in a tomb of death. That it was never the end game for Jesus Christ. And the cross, suffering, sacrifice, saints of God this morning, is also not the end game of Jesus Christ for us. It is not His purpose that is where we are going to dwell for the rest of our lives. The Lord never intended for disappointment to reign and be permanent, but rather that life would replace those places of pain and suffering. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, the Scripture says, "Beloved, think it not strange." Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And I want to pause there for a minute and say this. We live in a world that it feels like a nation. The world is not all this way. But in the United States of America, we live in a place where it seems like that life is advertised as being intended to be nothing but full of fulfillment and joy and ease and beautiful things. It's marketed that way. And if you want to have it, you can go get it. And it's all up to you. And if you're successful in life, success becomes defined as having all things beautiful and good and perfect. And we can look at our lives and say, where we live, it is all perfect. And how we get from place to place is perfect. And our family is situated and it all looks beautiful. And if anything goes wrong in your life, there's all kinds of things that are advertised as helping you get out of those difficult places so you can get back between the lines of perfection. That is not how life is. That is a false reality. And people can become disappointed and shocked when they find out that there is tough things in life that cross their paths, as if something strange has happened. Something that was so unexpected for the life that we're supposed to have. But way back when these books were written, the writer said, "Beloved, don't think it strange." And he didn't say concerning the small trial that is to try you. He said, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you." Don't think it strange. Don't think you've necessarily done something wrong. Remember the disciple said, "What sin has this man committed over here that has these problems in life?" Jesus said, "He hasn't committed anything sin. He's committed no sin. It's just for the glory of God." Beloved, think it not strange. Be of good cheer. Think it not strange that when things come into your life that really rock your boat, that are scary, where loss is experienced, where trouble abounds, where security seems to be swept away, where what you thought your life was going to entail takes a sharp left turn and goes in a completely different direction. Think it not strange. It's not abnormal. Something's not wrong. It's not off the rails if you're a Christian. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But listen, but rejoice. But rejoice in so much as you now are partakers of Christ's suffering. Now you can partake of the suffering of Christ as Christians. When trouble comes, when the unexpected comes, when you face things in life that you never dreamed you were going to have to face, and the devil says, you've done something wrong, your life is terrible, everything's bad, look at what you have ahead of you, be of good cheer. Because in so much now, as you can now be partakers of Christ's suffering, so that when His glory shall be revealed, when that time comes, sometimes in this life, and there'll be a time, a grand time, in the next life, when His glory shall be revealed, that the Scripture says, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Take courage this morning, dear ones. Life awaits us. The psalmist in the 23rd Psalm spoke of the table that was prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. There's going to be times that we have tables that are prepared for us, that we're going to have to pull up our chair to the table and eat from in the presence of our enemies. Life presents situations to us many times through Jesus Christ, where He prepares places in our lives, prepares tables before us that He bids us come pull up to and eat from in the very presence of those things that are hurtful, our enemies, in the presence of thine enemies. Oh, but listen, be encouraged with what comes next. In the very same verse, it says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And I want to make mention today that the oil was given after we pulled up to the table in the presence of our enemies. And sometimes some of the sweetest oil that the Lord has to present to us in life comes after the table is prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of those things that hurt, in the presence of those things that bring some of the deepest pain that we ever thought could exist. Sometimes the Lord is right there to be with us. And after we come to the table in obedience and in trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our shepherd, it is then and at the right time that He pours His oil over our lives and blesses us with above measure than what we ever thought, asked, or dreamed in our lives. And He goes on to say, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You are not forgotten. Surely the Lord will follow you all the days of your life, that we may dwell not in the presence of our enemies for the rest of our lives, but that we might dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. And I'd like to end this morning in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, a familiar passage. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Again, very personal. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Didn't say, I might, if I have time, if it's convenient, but the scripture says that then will you call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. This morning, it often takes the cross to get us to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. It takes the cross often. It takes the cross to help us learn about ourselves. It takes the cross to help us understand the humility that the Lord wants us to become acquainted with. It takes the cross sometimes to be able to reach somebody else that is not on the cross. But in the end, it is often the cross that ushers us into abundant and eternal life. It is the cross. And so this morning, may we lift up our eyes of expectation. Let's press on. Let's dig deep. Let's be of good cheer. For our redemption indeed draweth nigh. May God bless each one of you this morning. May His presence go with you. His presence of peace and cheer and comfort and strength, that we may be able to fulfill the place that Jesus Christ has for us in His work, that when we get to the end of the way, we can, in fact, meet Him in peace and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen.